Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. I've got proof today. I have proof that I'm working on your financial freedom because I've brought you proof that real estate does better than inflation. Yeah, proof positive. I have it right here in front of me, and I'm going to share it with you in just a moment. But before I do, I want you to understand that whatever you are doing for retirement, it's either working or it's not. There's no getting around that. It either is getting you to a place that you're trying to get to, and when you get there, everything's going to be fine, or it's getting you to a place that maybe you're not sure of, and what's scary about that is when you finally get there, you don't know if it's going to work or not. That is scary. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're in your 30s, your 40s, 50s, 60s, or even like Don, who was on yesterday's show, who started investing in real estate in his late 60s. He's 70 years old right now. And in a three-year period of time, Don completely rewrote the books on 35 years of stuffing money into retirement accounts and doing what he had been told to do his entire life, only to realize in his 60s, that plan was a ticking time bomb. He figured it out. He figured out that he was going to run out of money. Or actually, to be honest, Don figured out that he might not run out of money, but it was going to be danger close. Because people in his family live a long time. I mean, he mentioned to us that his mom lived, I think, till her 90s, and his dad was up into his 80s. So that kind of tells me this guy's going to be around for a while unless something goes bad with his biological system. He's going to be around. And what he's done now is he's totally transformed his retirement account. I'm telling you, he took $1.2 million out of retirement accounts and out of a house that he had completely paid off. And some of you think that's very risky, that he took a loan out on that house to use that loan to invest in real estate. But here's what Don knew. He knew that the spread was worth it. He knew that the paltry interest only that he's paying on his house, and he's got a ridiculously low interest rate, whatever he's paying there is well offset by the returns he's making in his real estate. And now I'm just going to hit you with the big fact that I've been dying to hit you with this entire episode. I know we're only a couple minutes into it, but this is what you need to know. Remember last week when I was talking about Social Security, and Social Security came out and they said they were giving everybody a 5.9% increase in their Social Security benefits. Do you remember that story? Yeah. So for the first time in like 20 years, Social Security like jumped its rate of payment up more than 1% to 2%. And what I pointed out to you is that is an indication that inflation is occurring in this country. As a matter of fact, what I was citing was an article that said from September of last year to September of this year, the consumer price index jumped 5.9%. And that means that the Social Security Administration must look at that number, analyze that number, and then make a determination as to what they're going to do with Social Security payments in the upcoming year. And what they analyzed was that, oh, inflation is actually here. It's actually prevalent. Prices are going up. And based on what the Social Security Administration measured, they were going up almost 6%. So that should give you an idea that just about everything in your life should be going up about 6%. Fuel for your automobile. Heating oil for your home. Cereal for your breakfast table. Steaks for the barbecue. All of this stuff will go up in price. And real estate is no different. Real estate is also going up in price. And the one stat that caught my attention today, this is the stat you want to hear, is that single-family rents grew 9.3% in August of 2021. 9.3%. Now, who came up with that number? A little organization called CoreLogic. They're kind of like one of those big data crunchers out there in America. And what they were doing is they were measuring single-family rents from August of 2020 to August of 2021. And what they realized was that rents had grown year over year 9.3%. So I got to ask you, what's a bigger number? 9.3 or 5.9? Well, obviously the 9.3 number, right? I mean, this is not a trick question. It's true. So what's the spread? It's about a 4.4% spread. So if you want to look at what real estate is doing in relation to just general inflation, real estate is almost doubling what inflation is doing. Okay, it's not quite doubling. I got to back off that statement. But it is doing 4.4% better when we're just looking at rents. Now think about it. If you own a rental property and you were leasing that property for $1,000 per month, and that lease is coming due, you have to make a decision. Do you adjust the rents upward? Do you leave them alone? Or do you do something else? Interesting, is it? Isn't it? So I'll tell you what. Think about that 9.3%. Consider that it's $93 of $1,000. And we'll come back from the break. I'm going to do something with that. Stick around.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single-family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so we're talking about that 9.3% increase in rents. Yeah, that's what single-family homes are going for today, 9.3% higher than they were going for a year ago. And when you take a look at what that does to your bottom line, that can be very significant. Yeah, an almost 10% increase in your rents is pretty significant. But you also have to keep in mind that you have expenses associated with your rental properties. So what are those expenses? Well, if you're doing everything correctly, you will have gone in and fixed up everything that could go wrong with that property. Anything that could go wrong in the next 5, maybe 7 years, you will have analyzed, you will have repaired or replaced it so that it's going to have a 5-year life expectancy, at least a 5-year life expectancy. So what that does for your expenses on your property is it takes them close to zero. You heard me correctly. Zero. Yeah, if everything is working correctly in your property, what does it cost to repair it? And the answer is, well, nothing. It doesn't cost anything to repair it. And your resident should be taking control of all of the utility expenses on the property. Now, I realize some properties are in different municipalities and some things maybe you have to have in your name because maybe that's what the local municipality requires. But you can pass all that on to the resident. So you're not paying for water. You're not paying for electricity. You're not paying for, well, maybe you're paying for sewer. I don't know how it works for you guys. But if that's the only thing you're paying for, that should be pretty insignificant. When you take a look at the other costs associated with your rental property, I mean, let's break it down for you. What other costs do you really have? Well, you are going to have a mortgage payment. And depending on how you structured that mortgage payment, it will either have an impound account, meaning that you are setting aside money to pay for taxes and insurance when they come about. And by the way, taxes and insurance, they have a tendency to adjust upward. They do. I just got all my renewals for my single family properties. All of them came in the mail today and I was looking at them. And yeah, the insurance cost, it did go up. So I have to take into consideration that my insurance is going up. But is my insurance going up more than 9.3%? Well, when I take a look at what they're charging me this year for the upcoming year, I should say, in relation to the previous year, my actual insurance expense went up 2.1%. So that's not terrible. It's not terrible. Now, when it comes to property taxes, yeah, the property taxes, they have gone up a little bit because of the way the municipality values and determines the value of a property and the appraisal value of the property. They said that the values went up. And because I had purchased these properties, 3 of these properties anyhow, in the last year, it kind of created a new value for the property. So my property taxes have gone up. It's just the way it is. So when it comes to raising rents, one of the things that I will consider on an annual basis is what did the adjustments in my expenses on my property come in at? Did my insurance go up and did my property taxes go up? And if they did, one of the things that I choose to do is I choose to pass those additional costs on to my resident. Yeah, I'm running a business. Why should I reduce my cash flow just because the cost of services to that property have gone up? Yeah, it's just the way it is. But I will tell you this. When I take a look at what my increases are on my properties, even when I look at my property tax, even when I look at my insurance cost, they didn't go up 9.3%. But the rents have. I have been watching the rents in the areas where I own these properties, and the rents are going up. They seem to be going up literally about $25 a month. I mean, that's how crazy it's been. And I don't think it's going to slow down. As a matter of fact, a lot of the research that I have done is indicating to me that rents will continue to push upward. They will continue to push upward. And this has a favorable effect on your real estate business as long as the increase in your rents are staying ahead of the increase in your expenses. And that's really what I want to get at to today, because I think you need to understand that you have to protect your bottom line. You have to protect your bottom line because you're making money in real estate five different ways, six different ways if we're in the multifamily space. But just because we're talking about single family today and only single family, I'm going to just stick with those five ways we make money in real estate. Now, I think the most important one, you'll always hear me say this, is the cash flow. The cash flow. Because with that cash flow, you will get yourself to a place of retirement. That's the way it works. As you bring more and more cash flow into your household and you start to realize that that cash flow is allowing you to pay your ordinary bills, the more cash flow that comes in and the more it takes over ownership, so to speak, of the bill payment, the closer you get to retiring yourself. And when you have enough of that passive income coming in that it meets or exceeds all of your bills, kind of like what Don explained to us yesterday, Don got to that point in 2.5 years where all of the cash flows coming in off of the 21 different apartment communities that he's invested in, that cash flow is covering all of his bills. And at that point, he effectively was retired. Now, he'd already retired himself years ago, but he wasn't as retired as he is now. It's pretty cool. A 9.3% increase. Kind of significant, right? I think that if you are in a position where you can adjust your rents upward, you ought to consider doing it. Now, why should you do it? Because of the bottom line. I'm going to keep going back there, folks, because I want you to understand that you're not in the business of charity. You are not in the charity business. You're in the business of operating a business. And there are two ways a business can go. A business can be profitable, or business cannot be profitable. For this to work, you must operate on a profitable scale. You've got to operate on a profitable scale. There's no other way to get around it. So when we come back from the break, let's get a little bit more into the details, shall we? All right, stick around. We'll be right back.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. You know, I've been doing a little more research during the break, and I found another article that's indicating to me that annual rent growth for detached rentals, which are primarily single-family homes, maybe duplexes, things like that, went up 11.7%. 11.7% for detached rentals, 6.4% for attached rentals. Yeah, so what they're getting at is if you have a rental that shares a common wall with another rental unit, those properties went up about 6.4%. But if you had a single family home, the growth was even better than the 9.4%. It was actually closer to 11.7%. Yeah, that's pretty high. So I think about it. If you had a $1,500 a month rental payment, and a friend of mine just mentioned to me that's what his rental payment is, and he just got a rent bump. I guess they signed a new lease, and the landlord said, "Hey, we're going to have to move the rent up $50," and he was okay with that because that, you know, $50 is not the kind of rent bumps that we're talking about here. But an 11.7% rent bump is pretty big. It's pretty big. I mean, wow. It's $175. Yeah, that's $175. That's a pretty significant movement. Meaning, a property that was renting for $1,500 a year ago should be renting today for $1,675. That's a pretty big jump. Now, keep in mind, those insurance costs may have gone up. The property taxes may have gone up. If you live in a place where you can protest your property taxes, it's probably a very good idea for you to do that. You should always shop your insurance. Yeah, it's a competitive market out there on the insurance side. Just don't fall on your laurels. Don't just, you know, say, "Hey, I've got insurance. I'm real happy with these guys," and use them for the next 20 years because they could change over time. Always shop your insurance. So you've got this rental property and the rents are going up. What does that do for your bottom line? I mean, really, let's break it down. Let's just say you had a rental property that was producing $5,000 a year in rental income. And let's just say, for giggles and grins, that maybe you obtained a 5% increase in your rents, in your retained rents. So maybe you were able to increase your rents, let's say 11%, but maybe your expenses went up too. So maybe your spread is only 5%. Well, how much is that? Well, it's $250. It's not a huge, huge number, is it? But it's a number going in the right direction. I think that there are people out there that have an attitude where they go, "Well, you know, I only made an extra, you know, $250 this year on that property. So, you know, maybe that's not so great. Maybe it's not worth doing." Well, why isn't it worth doing? I think it's very much worth doing because when you sit down and you think about it, a 5% increase for you monthly on a property that's producing about $5,000 a year in income for you, it's only going to go up about $20 per month, $20 more in your pocket. Now you're probably not going to go buy that mansion with that extra $20 in your pocket. And you're probably not going to go get that Lamborghini with that extra $20 in your pocket. And I get that. I understand that. But let's say you had 10 houses and 10 houses put an extra $20 in your pocket every month. What does that translate into? Well, that's an extra $200. And annualized, that's $2,400. Okay, that's starting to become a little more significant now, right? And here's the point. There are people that will figure, "Well, you know, I'm not going to raise the rent. My insurance went up. My taxes went up. I really like my residents. They take care of my property. I'm not going to give them a rent bump because I choose not to do that. I'm a big enough man that I could absorb the $20 hit every month." And I think that's a bad business decision. I really do. It tells me, number one, you don't believe in your product. I think that's true. I think that you don't believe strong enough in your product that you're willing to charge more for that product. And I don't think you see the value in that product because you're not willing to charge more for it. Does that make sense? I think that makes sense. Here's the other problem. You say you know your resident, but how well do you know your resident? I mean, if you're doing rental property the correct way, The only time you're really going to meet your resident is when you have them put an application in on your property. You screen them. They come out great. You say, hey, I've selected you to rent my property. Let's get into a business relationship together. We'll call it a lease. You sign it. I'll sign it. And then every month, you're going to pay me on the first of the month, starting with this month here. And by the way, you're going to give me a security deposit. Let's move forward with this business relationship. And they go, perfect, we're in. And a year goes by. How well do you know your residents? Other than the fact that from time to time, maybe they tell you if they have an issue with the property, if everything's going well with the property, they shouldn't be telling you that they have issues. You get a monthly rental payment from them on the first of the month, every month. 12 months later, how many times have you really interacted with these people? And the reality of it is you probably cashed their check or they did a online payment or something like that. You don't know these people. So why do you want to be concerned with their financial situation and save them $20 a month? I just don't think that it's viable. And what it does for you is it actually puts a negative dent in what you're trying to accomplish. I think you absolutely need to understand that the rental assets that you put out in the marketplace have value. And people are competing for those assets. In many places in this country, there is a lack of available housing. Now, I didn't create this lack of available housing. You didn't do it. I think the government might have had a little bit to do with it, but I don't think the government went out of their way to intentionally create a lack of housing. Now, I think the lack of housing is just a byproduct of what's been going on in our different economies within this country. We're seeing people move from certain parts of this country to other parts of this country. So as a result of that, with the demographic shifts that we're seeing and the population shifts that we're seeing, it's putting new demand onto housing assets that have never had as much demand for them. And as a result of that, we're also seeing people coming from high-cost locations to not as high-cost locations. And as a result of that, those people come and they go, wow, everything's on sale. Because now think about it. If you were in California, like when I was in California back in 2013, and you went, you know, I can't stay in California, can't retire in California, I got to go, I'm going to go to a place called Texas. And, you know, you were thinking about buying a house in California and you were looking to spend $500,000. And the best thing you could find was something you probably should tear down. But then you go to Texas and it's a different story. When we come back from the break, I'll pick up that story. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, let me pick up that story that I started telling you before the end of the last segment. So Tina and I, 2013, I'm getting ready to go on a final deployment with the Army. It's my literally going to be my farewell tour. She and I had been talking about, okay, when this military life is over, where are we planning to live? And one of the things that we decided was we wanted to leave California because we did not agree with a lot of things that go on in California. We don't believe with a lot of the politics. We don't believe in a lot of the just some of the dumb stuff that Californians do. Now, they have a right to do that, but I mean, at a certain point, I don't have to be around it. So we said, we're bouncing. And another reason we decided to leave California is because we knew that as we were trying to transition into more of a retirement mode, that we needed to live someplace where it wasn't so darn expensive to live. And we were living on the Central Coast of California, which is a beautiful place. But we were looking to maybe buy a house there. And I mean, I'll just be honest with you. We were pre-qualified to buy something in the $500,000 price range back in 2013. Well, back in 2013, let me tell you what that would buy you on the Central Coast of California. Now, you wouldn't be on the Central Coast. You'd have to be back in the kind of the coastal mountains a little bit because it's too expensive to live near the water. Yeah, we $500,000 wouldn't have gotten us anything. So we were looking at properties that were literally teardowns, literally 2,500 square foot kind of ranch style houses that when you went in them, they were dated and not well taken care of. They were wholesale properties, so to speak. So if we had stayed in California and we had bought one of those properties, we probably would have dropped another $200,000 into that property just to make it livable. And we didn't want to do that. So part of our exit strategy was we came to Texas. And when we came to Texas and we started looking around at what we could buy in Texas, we were just blown away. We were amazed. We bought a 4,000 square foot house on a half acre in a gated neighborhood for, I think I paid $405,000 for it, which was $100,000 under my budget. Yeah, so I went from ugh when it came to where I lived to wow, this is pretty nice. But that's going on today in Texas. We have people moving to Texas from other parts of the country, and they're looking at what they can buy in Texas for the prices they can buy it for, and they're going, everything's on sale. Everything, they're like giving real estate away. Because now think about it. It's not 2013 anymore. It's 2021, right? So if you're a tech person and you were living in Silicon Valley, you were probably renting, you heard me correctly, you were probably renting maybe a 1,600 square foot house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, maybe a 2-car garage in a nice neighborhood. The value of that home was probably $1.2, $1.4 million. You couldn't afford to buy it. Not even at your crazy six-figure salary, you couldn't afford to buy that. And you rented, and your rent was probably ridiculously stupid too. You're probably paying like, I don't know, $3,500 a month for that house. And then all of a sudden, your tech company says, hey, we're going to move you to Texas, and you come out to Texas. Maybe your tech company goes to Houston, and you wind up, you know, looking around Houston. You start looking for, okay, well, what can I rent? And you start seeing what $3,500 a month in rent can buy you. And you go, wow, this is really neat stuff. And then you start going, well, what if I can buy? And then you start going, wow, I still kind of have a six-figure income, but I can afford like maybe a, I don't know, $500,000, $600,000 house, which here in Texas is like 2 to 3 times as big as what I could buy in California. So we've been experiencing people come out here to Texas and they bid up the prices because they want their piece of real estate. They want to get into something that they've never been able to get into before. So you have people coming here with different expectations that are willing to pay more for stuff than, say, your typical Texan's willing to do. And that's part of what drives up all of these costs. Now, I started off the show by just telling you that rent prices on average were going up like 9.3%. And as I read down farther through the article, I realized as we were looking at purely single family homes, that number actually jumps to 11.7%. That is a significant increase in your rental income streams. It is very important that you understand why this is happening. I believe, based on everything that I have read, probably for the last 3 to 4 months, that we're going to continue to see upward pressure on pricing. There's nothing that I have read either on the federal level, at the state level, or at the local level in a lot of the markets that I follow. There's nothing that I see in any of those markets from an economic standpoint, from a demand standpoint, from an availability of product standpoint that leads me to believe that we're going to see prices leveling off. I just don't see it happening between now and the end of the year. As a matter of fact, a lot of the things that I'm reading are saying, hey, man, just buckle up because we're going to see this continue on until next summer. Some of the other publications that I've read said, hey, man, it's going to go all the way through 2022. So what should you do? What should you do? You might be a little nervous. You might be thinking, you know what? I don't know, man. I might have missed the boat here. I might have totally missed the boat here. This has got to be a terrible time for me to invest in real estate because the real estate prices are going up. Rents are going up. I can't afford to get into this market. I'm here to tell you, you cannot afford not to get into this market. When you see the health of an investment market and you stand back and you watch that health continue to flourish, you watch that health continue to grow, you watch that health not degrade. That's what I'm watching. I have been watching a very healthy real estate market. I've been watching this thing be healthy for the last couple of years. I mean, we had coronavirus, right? March of 2020. Yeah. The day that time stands still, right? Well, it wasn't quite like that. It was Trump saying, hey, we're going into lockdown, right? Everybody thought the real estate market was going to not do well. Everybody was poised for 2008 to happen again. But it didn't happen. As a matter of fact, what we found was that people need their houses. They need where they live. That's their little space. And they're willing to pay for it. And as we have seen with all the forbearance stuff that's out there, remember, forbearance was supposed to create this big avalanche of foreclosures. That's where a lot of these cheap houses were going to come from that you and I were going to buy. Yeah, well, that didn't happen, did it? Because people, even when they went into forbearance, they stayed focused on getting out of forbearance. Whether they took whatever excused payments and they added them to the back of the loan, or however they negotiated with their lender, we didn't see people walking away from loans like we saw in 2008. Completely different markets. Completely different psychological factors. Yeah, completely different. So if you're waiting for the bottom to drop out, I don't believe it's going to happen. I really don't believe it's going to happen. I'll be the first to tell you if I see signs that it's going to happen, I will tell you. But I don't see it happening. But having said that, as a real estate investor, you always have to have a contingency plan for tomorrow. You always have to think about the what if. What if? What if we wake up tomorrow and Al is wrong? And all of a sudden, real estate is on sale for 40 cents on the dollar. Well, that's your contingency planning. Do you have a plan to react to take advantage of that? I do. As do all of our Lifestyles Unlimited members. We all have a contingency plan in place to take advantage of that particular act. But that is not what we need to react to. What we need to react to is inflationary pressures pushing pricing higher. And what we're seeing, again, real estate doing better on a performance level than inflation itself. Once again, the only asset class out there that outpaces inflation is real estate. And if you want to get started, go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Get signed up and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.